All right, so last week we looked at what remembering is all about, how we want to be remembered for some things and not to be remembered for other things. But the point is that we need to be sure that we are remembered for the right thing when we die. We want Jesus to remember us for our salvation, not our sins. And that we also need to value the freedom we have here in America to worship the Lord in any way we see fit, and to be able to assemble together as a body of believers, as a church family. We need to not take that for granted. We need to be thankful for the sacrifice that earned us that freedom. Because there was a lot of sacrifice went into that from a lot of people. Today, based on the events of my own life this past week, I decided that we're going to look at the fate that awaits us all. All of us have a certain destination that we are heading toward. We're going to talk about that, but before we get started on that this morning, I want to just take a moment to pray and ask God for His wisdom and His guidance in preparing ourselves for eternity. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be here. Always great to be in your house with God's people, with our church family, to spend time together in praise and worship of you, and then just time in your word, Lord, where we can be edified, where we can learn what it means to be a Christian, what we have to do to be prepared for eternity. Lord, everything we need to know, you have given us in your word, even though it may not be everything we'd like to know. But Lord, help us learn to dig into the deep riches that are stored therein so we can become better Christians every day. Lord, we ask you to watch over this meeting that is conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Benjamin Franklin wrote a letter to a friend of his, and he said, "Our new Constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." Now, if you're rich and well-connected, you can probably drop the taxes off that line today. But you can't drop death. You can't get out of the death thing. On a side note, just so you know, Mark Twain explained, "A tax is a fine for doing well, and a fine is a tax for doing wrong." Keep that in mind as you're paying taxes. Hopefully you're not paying fines. But regardless of wherever your stance is on whether taxes are sure or not, death is sure. Death has achieved a 100% mortality rate among humans. Now, there are two who have not died yet in the Bible, and there's a whole room full of people here who have not died yet, but we are all going to die eventually. It'll be 100% mortality rate. Do you all remember playwright George Bernard Shaw? He wrote his epitaph. I don't think they used it, but he wanted to put on his tombstone, "I knew if I waited around long enough, something like this would happen." You know, it's going to happen to you. You're going to get to the point one day where the world starts without you the next day. It's going to happen. So I want you to think about that day for a moment. Are you ready? Are you ready to die? Is your faith in God, or is it in the things of this world? Where have you put your faith? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you treasuring today? So there's a story I've spoken on before. It's about a rich man. He put his faith in his possessions. We're going to look at the end of it. It's found in Luke 12. It starts in verse 19. "And I will say to my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We need to make sure we have our priorities right while we still have the chance. Because we're all going to face a moment where we're going to die, and then we're going to face our Creator. You know, we talk about judgment in the Bible. We talk about two different areas of judgment, two different judgments that will happen. There's the Bema Seat for believers. There's the Great White Throne Judgment for non-believers. But you are also judged at the moment you die. You are immediately weighed, checked in the balance to see if you are saved or not. And if you are saved, at this point, you go to heaven. Your spirit will be in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you are not saved, you are sent to Hades, is where you are sent. You're sent to a place of a holding place for the unsaved, where they will stay until the great white throne judgment, which is quite a ways off because it's 1,000 years after the tribulation. Will that judgment take place? The Bema Seat takes place immediately after the rapture. But we are kind of judged to see which crowd we belong in automatically to make sure we get sorted correctly upon death. So the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. That is Hebrews 9, is verse 27. But after this, the judgment. With the exception of the Christians who are alive at the moment of the rapture, all of us will experience a physical death. All of us have a physical death waiting for us in the future. It's going to happen. If you're here when the rapture happens, I'm not exactly sure if they consider that death or not, but you do shed this old body and you do pick up an incorruptible body. So I'm going to say it's a moment of death also, even at the rapture, for the physical body you have today. As most of you all know, I did have a bit of a health scare this past week. I am not trying to make it into something it is not. I drove myself to the hospital twice. I told Chris, don't worry about it. If it's important, I'll call you. If it kills me, somebody else will call you. But it's no big deal. I'm going to go get this checked out. And it turns out that it was called an NSTEMI, N-S-T-E-M-I, which I had to look up and see what the heck that meant. It just means it's not as damaging to your heart as others can be. It's a basic, simple way of explaining that. They did put 2 stents in. While I was there, you're going to see my scar. It's this little tiny spot right here. I've been showing it to people all day. You got to get real close. It's not much to it at all. But there was this moment that I was having this pain in my chest. I really wasn't sure what it was. Now, if somebody said, hey, it's not that big of a deal, you'll be all right, that'd have been different. But in that moment of uncertainty, I didn't know what it was going to be. So I was sitting there thinking, am I ready to die? Am I ready? Because, you know, like I say, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this because it's not that big of a deal. But in that moment of uncertainty, what if it was a big deal? Would I have been ready to step into eternity to meet my Creator? And that got me thinking. I wonder how many people have ever faced that. Because in all honesty, I've thought about that. Never quite with the urgency I was thinking about it right then. But it's a thought. We don't really put too much or pay too much attention to it. I can tell you, without reservation, I am ready to go. I am ready to go. You know, everybody says they want to go to heaven, but not on the next train. I've been saying for a few years, where's the train station, people? And I'll go buy my ticket now. No problem. I'm ready to go. But I looked at it. Have I lived a perfect life? No. Have I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish? Nope. You can't really let God down. I like the saying, you can't let God down because you don't hold him up, which is a good point. But I have failed in God's expectations of me. It has happened. There's no doubt about that. But the day is going to come where tomorrow will start without me. It seems kind of sad. You know, we get so wrapped up in our lives, we think that if it wasn't for us, the world would come to a screeching halt somehow. And then, as a matter of fact, that was really bothered me. The first person in my family that I really remember dying was my grandmother. I was like 22 when she died. And it really struck me as strange that the day after she died, the world was still going on. I really thought when somebody died, people stopped doing what they were doing. Something had to happen. But nothing happens. The world just continues on. Whatever she had planned for that day, she didn't get to. I know that. When it happens to me, whatever I have planned for that day, I'm not going to get to either. But you know what? The world's going to go on. Can't worry about what the world's going to do, though. We have to worry about where we're going to go. Where are we going to be the moment after that? In James 4, starting in verse 13, it says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We are not promised tomorrow. The word used here in that passage is atmos, which is where we get our word atmosphere. It's a Greek word. And it is more like the mist you see rising off the road after it rains on a summer day. You know, it's only there for a very short while. That mist fades away and it's gone. That's what they're talking about here. Something very quick, a mist that does not last. That's your life. That's my life. That's everybody's life. We're not promised tomorrow. So it goes back to my question. Are you ready? If tomorrow didn't come, would you be ready? The whole episode set me to thinking about what is really important. Am I living my life by what I consider to be important, or it was what I consider important reflected in my life? Because I might think something is important, but I might live my life a totally different direction. I might say the most important thing I do is the things I do for God, and I might spend my day, the most important thing I do is making money for me. That's how that could be. Not saying you all need to go out and quit our jobs, but that's just one of the things. Where are you putting your priorities? I've talked before about the poem by C.T. Studd where the line is in there, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I tell you what, that's a great little creed. Because you got to think about it that way. Only what you were doing for Christ is going to last. The only thing you will ever take into eternity is the rewards that you earn for being a good Christian on this planet. You won't take diplomas, degrees, certificates, trophies, awards, money, your car. Sorry, Sam. Yeah, leave that behind. All of us in heaven will be thankful for that. But all this gets left behind. It all just simply gets left behind. There's the priorities we need to have in our lives. Do they show? Do they? Now, I don't live my life according to C.T. Studd, just so you know, but it is a nice little thing to know to help guide what I do. Is this going to last? Is this really important? Is this the most important thing I could be doing today? Steve Jobs said, am I doing what I like today? And he said if he got too many days in a row where the answer was no, he would change something. But, you know, it's not about what I like. Am I doing what God likes today is the question. Am I doing what God likes? Something to think about. A Christian life is one of obedience. It is one of prayer. It is one of Bible study. And it is one of sacrifice. We have to be willing to sacrifice. Following God requires sacrifice on our parts. We have to be willing to set aside what we want. We need to get out of this me, right now, moment thing that we do. It's all about me all the time type thing. Sometimes we don't even think we do it. But we do. We'll hit the snooze instead of getting up and going into prayer or into Bible study. Or we'll rush through our day to where we get to the end of the day. There is no time for prayer or Bible study. It's like John talked about, handling things on your own will lead to pride. Or worse, a bigger problem. That's usually when people go out for Jesus to take the wheel. Is after we've done, made a mess of everything under the sun. And we can't figure a way out. Then we say, all right, Jesus, we tried. Now it's your turn. Make something happen. Do your magic for us. Make us better. It's kind of how we live. We've got to make sure we don't do that. We've got to make sure we put God first. First thing in the morning is the best time. They say a day that is hemmed in prayer, beginning and end, does not come unraveled very easily. Something. Billy Graham wrote a piece. It was called 1 Minute After You Die. It contained the following. Those who find themselves in heaven will be surrounded with friends whom they have known on earth. Friendships, once rudely interrupted by death, will continue where they left off. Every description of heaven they have ever heard will pale in the light of reality. All this forever. Others, indeed many others, will be shrouded in darkness, a region of deprivation and unending regret. There, with their memories and feelings fully intact, images of their life on earth will return to haunt them. They will think back to their friends, family, and relatives, They will brood over opportunities they squandered and intuitively know that their future is both hopeless and unending. For them, death will be far worse than they imagined. That's the reality. 1 minute after you die, you're going to know more about the truth of God than any theologian who's walking this earth. And if you're on the wrong side of it, that truth won't help you anymore. If you wind up on the wrong side. We have to be ready for this to happen. There is a cemetery in Indiana, and some of you all may have heard this before. It has an epitaph on one of their stones. It says, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." Now, somebody read that, unknown person, and he scratched one more line to this thing. He says, "To follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went." Now, that's the truth. We are not here to follow man, we are here to follow God, and we need to make sure that we surround ourselves with people who lead us that direction. We don't want to follow the wrong person, because people will fail. Charles Spurgeon said, "God uses people who fail because there are no other people." There's something to keep in mind. Guys, but you can't follow people, you need to follow God. And that day is coming where you're going to have to say, "Am I ready?" Think about that. Think about if you knew that you were dying this afternoon, what would you be doing different? What would you have to do to get ready to die? Now, I'm not talking about giving all the passwords to all the banking accounts and all that. I'm talking about to meet your Creator. God doesn't care what was in your bank when you die. Your people you leave behind might care what was in the bank. He's not going to get it out, but God doesn't care. What would you have to do to be prepared? How many of y'all would need me to call this meeting right now so we can all just go on home and get our lives straightened out, because we're going to die in a few hours? Guys, when it happens, you might not have any time to even think about it. Might be an instant, out of the blue. No chance to even think about it. There are people who believe that they can live the life they want and they will be converted on their deathbed. They will ask God to save them right before they die and they will be okay. You know, in all honesty, that would work. If you come to Christ, even at the end of your life, you still get to go to heaven just like the thief on the cross. But what if you don't have that moment? What if it's over before you ever have that chance? Once you are there, you are there. You are in eternity forever, no matter where it is. If the Lord tarries long enough, each and every one of us in this room will face death. Every one of us. Because we don't know when the Lord's coming back. It looks close to me, but I'm not a prophet. We just have to wait and see how that works out. But we will face death. That is a certainty. It's going to happen if the Lord tarries long enough. We are going to follow all of our friends and family, you know, all the relatives who have passed before us. We will follow them into death. I was just talking to another pastor. He had a look at two different funerals. One, the person was a Christian. He says mixed in with the pain of losing somebody was joy. People were happy. Saw that same thing in Andy's funeral. Sad as it was to see Andy go, there was a joy to that because we knew where Andy was. He said he went to another one where the people were not convinced this person was ever saved. I did one of those that really sticks out in my mind. They were adamant the man was not saved. They didn't wonder. They just were adamant he was not. But there's no hope for that. There's just sadness in those funerals. There's no hope. Wouldn't it be a sad thing to have people at your funeral say there is no way possible that person's saved? It'd be sad. What's really sad is, where are they? Where did they wind up? You know, we don't know that for sure. Your salvation is between you and God. It is not between you, me, and God. It's not between you, the church, and God. It's between you and God. You have to be firm in your salvation. You have to know exactly where you're going to go when the time comes. So you think about where you're going to be. Think about how you're going to know. Think about what you're leaving behind. Are you leading those around you to Christ? Do people see Christ through you? Or do they just see you? When the time comes that the Lord calls you home, will you be able to say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4? It's verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Will you be able to say that? Because that's what we need to be able to do. We need to be able to say that. This is not a brag. I'm going to say that. And it's not because I am perfect. Like I told you, it is not because I met everything God ever expected of me. But I have done my best to make sure that I do fight the good fight. There are times I fail at that. But it's still my goal. It's still my goal. So if the other day, if it actually had been a whole lot worse than it really was, and I had died, I'd have been fine. I'd had no hesitation about crossing the line. Death can be scary. Nobody actually knows what happens at the moment of death. But you know what? The other side of it can be glorious for a believer. And that's where I want us all to be. I want every one of us, the moment after our death, that, like Billy Graham said, 1 minute after you die, that we are in heaven, renewing friendships with people that we lost already. Guys, there's people out there that are going to die and go the wrong way. How do we fix that? How do we help them find the Lord? It's through our actions. Nothing will turn a person off more than a bad Christian. You can't say one thing and do another. Your focus has to be on the things of God. People are watching. You might not even know it, but people are watching. They're watching to see what you do, what you say, how you act. And every time one of us screws up, and that includes me, there are people who are saying, ha, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it was all fake. Not fake. It's funny, we only hold that measure against Christianity. We don't hold it against. If you go to a movie and you see a bad actor, do you quit going to movies? No. You just might not go see that one again, but you'll still go to a movie. Your favorite artist puts out a song you can't stand, do you quit listening to it? No. You don't listen to that song. We don't focus on the negative aspects of most things, but when it comes to Christianity, the first chance we have, will we use it to justify the guilt that is in our heart for not doing what God has called us to do? Guys, I hope that when that time comes for you, that you are content with where you are going, that you are firm and secure in your salvation, you know where you're going, and that you will have no problem standing before your Creator and saying, well, I didn't do the best, but I did the best I could. God, you were my focus. You were what I wanted. You were what I strive for every day. That's what you need to think about. A couple things you can take away. Every one of us has a physical death waiting for them in the future. Everybody does. A Christian life is one of obedience. It is one of prayer. It is one of Bible study. It is one of obedience, one of prayer, one of Bible study, and one of sacrifice. And make sure your priorities are right while you still have the chance. Let us pray.